Okay, you might just be one application away from the job of your dreams, but maybe you need a nudge to get going. It is mindset issues that keep us from achieving what we want. I've set up a challenge, and it will help you to develop an unstoppable mindset, get guidance on the way, craft an application that makes recruiters scream with joy, and give you a breakthrough accountability group that helps you overcome procrastination. If you're interested, send me an email at moritz@moritzgruber.net or find me on Facebook and hit me up. I'll send you the details. And on we go with our interview of Jesko Perai, the amazing global knowledge leader on marketing and sales, an all-around great guy. And today we talk a little bit about what he looks for in recruits and what his experience is when he is interviewing people. So we continue our journey with Jesko, and I asked him about failure. And we started out by saying that there is no failure in life. There's only undesired outcomes. That is based on an observation that so many of you come up with this question to me, and they say, but what if I fail in the application? And I have to tell you, well, so what? First of all, it doesn't cost you anything to apply. And then not getting into McKinsey is not failure. So let's hear what Jesko has to tell us about this.
Yeah, and you also have to say, Moritz, on that one, also for the guys who now check that podcast, I have to say this, please shouldn't come across arrogant. You're not a bad human being if you don't make it to McKinsey, BCG, or Bain. I mean, you're just not a bad human being. It's sometimes not everybody's sport. And you may not know it, but you may also not like it then if the recruiting interview wouldn't tell you that it doesn't maybe fit. Because at some point you are then out of a sudden in the middle of this machine and you're just not happy when waking up in the morning. And I think that's a prerequisite for everything. You have to at least check yourself every day. How often did I smile? And if you don't smile, something is wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but what are you, when people now apply to the marketing and sales practice, what are you looking for? What's going on in your head when you look at people?
I mean, first of all, of course, you know it from your own career, Moritz. At some point, you have also been through that recruiting process, even if it wasn't the marketing practice process. It's not fundamentally different. So, first of all, and again, please, apologies, it's not an arrogant answer, but of course we look for smart people, and smart people meaning there is a formal quote-unquote assessment about your marks, about the, let's say, education, which I think is natural and shouldn't be too much surprising, but this is of course prerequisite. Then for the marketing and sales practice, of course it is helpful if you have some meaningful, more or less meaningful experience in special marketing and sales area, that can of course today be very relevantly in highly analytical or digital areas of marketing and sales, but it can also be in classical marketing and sales areas. But honestly, Moritz, it doesn't have to be. So you even can join the marketing and sales practice more or less as a generalist with a, let's say, broader studies where marketing and sales was also a topic. And by the way, also for all the others, you can, of course, when you do not immediately apply for the marketing and sales practice, change track within McKinsey after a year or so. So you simply go in as generalist and then change track. But then last but not least, what I'm looking for, whether it's people who are changed tracks in our practice or whether it's people who apply directly, I would like to see the sizzle. I'd like to see this special thing, something where you see these people burn for something. These people want something. These people have achieved something already in their lives. They are not only single-minded on checking what the next application should look like, but they have done something. They are interested in either sports or social things. So something special. I need to see the sizzle. And when I talk to someone more and the eyes are shining and we are smiling and we are laughing, it's a good recruiting interview. But if it's like, then it's not.
Yeah, they ask me, sometimes they ask me, what internship should I do to be more attractive? I tell them, look, I don't care. You can found an orphanage in Nepal. You can, but do something that excites you and where you can excel and move the needle and show that you've got a brain of your own.
Yeah, but as you said, Rose, it doesn't have to be famous company A versus famous company B. But if you're, for example, working in smaller social projects and do something great, if you're working in any international projects where you help human being on some specific things. So do something cool in your internship and don't do the, okay, I was in a law firm and was calculating the action sheets. I mean, yes, I think that's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask another question. You are so successful. What is your learning? What is the basis for your success?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thanks for the flowers, but it's always on others to judge about that. So I wouldn't say I'm successful. I think I'm doing what I'm doing. And many of the things which I did worked out quite good, if not successful. So in principle, you're probably right. But I think the basis for this, Moritz, is be yourself. So I disclose the feedback which I once got as a partner. I don't even know whether it was as a partner or as a young senior partner from one of my evaluators, who was basically telling you, yeah, yes, go. And then on the other side, so when it comes to the, you know, there was always the strengths first in the evaluator discussions, you know that, and then there comes this whatever long or short list of potential developments. So then the evaluator basically said, yeah, the most important thing is some people think you are a little different and in style, maybe a bit direct, great humor, but not everybody may like it. And so you have to think about, mm-hmm. And then he said, but honestly, Jesko, I wouldn't change it. So, that was, I will never forget that discussion. This was a great evaluator, really great evaluator. He was basically saying, look, it's you, not everybody may like everything, but it's just you. And that is actually the advice which I would also have to all of you guys. Because when I see young colleagues, I see lots of very authentic, extremely personal. So disclose yourself. Disclose also your feelings, share your human side of your nature, which is most importantly more interesting than all the professional things. But I also see some people who come there and say, I have to become partner. And my North Star is partner. But that moment, it's no North Star. It's just no North Star. North Star is, I'm working in area A, I'm working for industry B, I'm working on social things, C, whatever the North Star is. And by the way, it's not a problem to reshape the North Star constantly. You can change the North Star, no issue at all, but go for something, be yourself. That's my advice also in recruiting interviews, by the way, be yourself. If you try to show us something which for sure you are not, we figure it out. I figured out after 30 seconds.
So, those of you who want to give back, please leave me a little message with your experiences. What did you take away? How did this help you? What was the impact it gave you? What was the success you achieved from learning something from my podcast? Please, please, please. This is giving back. I'm working for you every day. Now it's time for you to give back. The link is in the show notes.